Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the beloved Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Alec Torres of National Review in for Jim Garrity today, who is at CPAC in the Washington, D.C. area. Alec joins us from New York. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, and we have good, bad, and crazy martinis for you as usual. We start with the good, and Alec, it's right there in your backyard in New York City, and Mayor Bill de Blasio just sworn in after the stroke of midnight on New Year's Day. He was elected last year over Joe Lota in a lopsided margin. I think he took like 3 out of every 4 votes in the mayoral race. Really, just over 2 months into his term, he's down to 39% approval. I guess kicking underprivileged kids out of charter schools, trying to get rid of the horse-drawn carriages, and not taking care of snowfall takes its toll, huh?
It's kind of crazy how fast this all went down for de Blasio. You figure a city who elected him with, I think, somewhere around 73% of the vote would care for him a little bit longer. I mean, he's just had a series of falls here right off the bat. The snow removal, as you mentioned right in the beginning, not only did he not remove it fast enough, which everyone was angry about. I mean, outside of our office, Park Avenue was backed up for miles, it seemed. But he didn't close schools down, which made a lot of parents angry because they had trouble getting to their kids. One of my favorites is that he announced a speed limit reduction of 5 miles per hour within the city, and then only a couple days later was caught in his car with a driver speeding, passing stop signs, just breaking traffic laws all over the place. So there was a lot of irony in there. And then, of course, the charter school thing. I mean, most New Yorkers do actually like charter schools. And when you see that de Blasio's preference for traditional schools comes at the expense of charter schools, people are starting to get a little bit more wary of that, too.
Well, some of that is news. I mean, he obviously didn't campaign that he's going to break traffic laws or get rid of the horse-drawn carriages. But I don't think anybody's all that shocked about his attitude towards the charter schools. So is this just a matter of folks not paying that close of attention last year and finally they're seeing exactly what they voted for?
Some of it's not paying attention. Some of it's being hopeful. I actually went to a charter school rally back in, I want to say, October. Every single person I spoke with there said that they were going to be voting for de Blasio. And every single person I spoke with there also knew that he had not a very positive policy towards charter schools. Yet still, every single one of them was hopeful that he would, you know, make the right decision in the end. I think people just wanted to project on de Blasio all of their hopes of a progressive dream, including free choice in education, which is obviously not very progressive.
And I guess the fork in the pizza probably didn't help either, but I'm guessing that's probably minimal in terms of his downward spiral in popularity. All right, on to martini number two now. And of course, one of the big issues we've been talking about pretty much regularly in the bad martini has been the situation involving Vladimir Putin towards the Ukraine, how the former Ukrainian government treated its own people. And as this has all unfolded and as there's been criticism pretty much day to day over the president's foreign policy leading up, and some people believe making it easier for Putin to do what he's doing over there, and just his handling of the crisis in the moment, there's been talk of some reporters, Ed Henry from Fox News being one, as you'll hear in this clip, who are hearkening back to 2012 when Mitt Romney declared Russia to be our number one geopolitical foe, and President Obama said that, you know, the Cold War has been over 20 years, the 1980s called, they want their foreign policy back. So Ed Henry asked Jay Carney about this at the press briefing earlier this week, and here's the slightly less than coherent answer he got in return.
The president was dismissive when Mitt Romney in the last campaign said Russia was our number one geopolitical foe. Any regrets about that?
Mm-hmm. No, because again, this, you have a situation where Russia is violating international law, a country that Moscow, a government that Moscow supported, was rejected by the vast majority of the Ukrainian people.
Did you get that, Alec?
I guess we should expect that Jay Carney won't necessarily answer any question asked to him. That's kind of the job of a press secretary. But he automatically segued into something irrelevant to the question, or really not germane to the question. The quick no was the only clear part of that answer. I kind of get the feeling, watching Obama over the course of these past few years with all of his foreign policy blunders and dealings, that he might not actually think that geopolitics exists. I think that he kind of naively assumes that he is above politics in this country and he is above politics internationally, too, and that everything is kind of just a win-win situation as long as we can find common ground. I think he just doesn't realize that some things are actually a zero-sum game where people want to take from others.
On to the crazy martini now, and Obamacare continues to provide headaches, certainly for Democrats who are on the ballot this year. However, the president seems to have a pretty rosy view of the situation. He was a guest on an interview with a number of Hispanic media sites like Univision and Telemundo and that sort of thing. And the question was about the state of Obamacare. How well is it doing? And here's how that went down.
I am absolutely confident that you will see millions of people benefiting from this law. It doesn't mean that at some point there won't be some additional problems or improvements that we can make. At this point, I think actually it is working the way it should, but what we need to do is after the first year, we'll evaluate what the pool looks like.
And he went on to say we might need to take some better looks at other ways to make sure that the uninsured are getting enrolled, which is interesting today, Alec, because the Department of Health and Human Services says they're not even keeping track of how many previously uninsured people are getting coverage, which was supposedly the whole point of this thing. So what do you make of the president saying, thumbs up, everybody?
I don't know whether to cry or laugh at this point. When you look at everything as it's actually going down, I mean, he said this is the way that it should be. It's happening as it should. So, I mean, should the back end of the website still not be fixed by March? I mean, should we still have delays up to this point? Should we have fewer enrollments than projected? So few young? Should we have cost raising for everyone? Should we have so many plans dropped? I mean, I see three options with why Obama actually said this. Either one, he actually doesn't know that all these things are wrong, which for how many times he claims ignorance, I guess you can actually believe that. Two, he's just flat out lying. Or number three, it's actually how he thinks it should be. I'm kind of thinking that he's just lying, but I can't see anything else outside of that when you look at the fact that this thing has been a horrible blunder from the get-go.
And how do you think that impacts, I mean, he's not on the ballot, obviously, this year, but a lot of Democrats are, ones who would like to keep their jobs. And so when you not only have a president saying he's not looking at any major changes to the law, but it's ideal, how far can these candidates run away from this guy?
When a president like Obama says that there's not many changes coming forward with the law, that doesn't actually mean anything considering he changes the law, it seems, every other week. So I think that he's going to continue to make some Friday afternoon decisions, trying to gain Democrats as much room as they can and pushing off the actual costs of the law. But, I mean, it's already coming home. People across America are attributing things that aren't even caused by Obamacare, bad things, to Obamacare just because of the public perception of it. Democrats can't run from this, and it's wonderful that that's the case because we really need to hold somebody accountable, finally.
The Friday job numbers, you know, it's obviously not completely connected to Obamacare, but a lot of economists, conservative and independent, will point out that a lot of folks are simply in a freeze pattern right now, holding pattern to see exactly what the impact of this will be. And the longer the president postpones all this stuff, you have to figure the longer the holding pattern continues, which means that big improvements in employment and job creation, economic growth is at best on hold, if not just going to be stagnant for a while.
Yeah, and I mean, nobody knows what they're doing. Just think of any small business. Think of a small business between the 50 and 99 mark that got the delay so recently. For all they knew, they weren't going to have that delay. They were prepping for being a part of the law in full as it was written, and now they got the delay. But will they get the delay another time? Will they not? Nobody ever really knows. I mean, that's just one small section of the economy, but that's a lot of businesses that are saying, I'd rather just sit and wait as opposed to try anything risky or hire new people in such an uncertain environment. This decision making is horribly harmful.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, I think, that would agree with that. And we will watch as this plays out, both in terms of the president's new decisions on what to do with the law and how it all affects these races throughout the campaign season. Alec, thanks so much for filling in for Jim the last couple days. Hopefully you're expecting the same kind of spring-like weather we are down here.
Yeah, I hope so. Thanks for having me on again, Greg.
You bet. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Alec Torres of National Review in for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks so much for being with us this week, and please be sure to join us on Monday. Jim will be back then for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.